Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Yo, welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. This is your boy Sam. I won't be joined by Brandon today, but we did want to tell everybody, you know, we finally reached 1,000 on YouTube, which is a huge, huge accomplishment, man. And we really, really do appreciate you guys for supporting us. And, you know, so it's going to be some changes on the show, I guess. You know, I guess they'll shoot some commercials through the show every now and then, which is cool. You know, but you can get the commercial-free episode on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you get on your listening devices. But, you know, YouTube's going to have some commercials, so, you know, don't hate the show because of that reason. But we really, really appreciate you guys for supporting the show and getting us to 1,000. And I think we'll start doing some more interesting, more content, you know, and we'll keep these shows pumping out for you guys, man. But today, I wanted to get into the DB coach that we hired, what that meant, the ramifications of that. And I also want to get into 24 recruiting. And since y'all know I hate talking about recruiting, I brought somebody that loves talking about recruiting on the show so he can talk to you about these kids. And Clemson made a pretty big hire. So we'll get into a little conversation of Dabo doing a little self-evaluation and doing some things we didn't think he would do, man. So I did bring my guy Chris Sporadics from the Sporadics podcast. Make sure you follow him on Facebook. Chris, what is going on, my guy?
Well, I think it's been just as interesting in this offseason as it was during the season for Florida State. So just as much is going on now as it was 4 months ago, in my opinion.
Yeah. I know we haven't had you on since, was that the summer I think we did the show? Was it the summer before the season, right? So you know, I know we and you constantly talk to each other and, you know, talk about things that we hear, you know, to see if it's true or somebody just feeding us bull, you know. So we always share information and, you know, and I know you've done a lot of work on the NIL side with FSU, helping Norvell and helping FSU out with NIL. I know you and James been partnering up too, who's also a friend of the show. So I thought you'd be the perfect guy to fill in for Brandon to talk about these kids.
I personally appreciate it. It seems like more and more over the past couple of months, I think this will be the 16th show that I have been a guest on for this season, which is different for me because I'm only used to being on my show. But first and foremost, congratulations on getting 1,000 subscribers. That's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate all those shares and you allow me to agitate your Facebook listeners. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, y'all don't go anywhere else and listen to the podcast. Go to the YouTube channel because YouTube pays better. And it's cool because the ads are only at the very beginning, so it won't be irritating. It's 10, 15 seconds, and it helps people get paid. So
yeah. And, you know, and even when you're not watching the show, just cut it on another room and just walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yeah, man. First of all, you was very, very positive on Norvell. You have always been very, very positive on Norvell and other coaches as well. This, you know, not just Norvell, right? You know, and you know me. I've been more optimistic, pessimistic. I'm sorry, not optimistic. Pessimistic. But he did prove me wrong. He had a really good year. He had the type of year that he had to have. And I'm actually really happy about that. How do you feel? How do you feel so far? I mean, we had 10 wins, and I know the recruiting's not quite where we wanted at, but we got 10 wins. So how do we feel about Norvell? Is he moving different? Is he acting different? Is he recruiting different? Has he made himself the FSU head coach? Is he filling the shoes now?
Yeah, he's definitely filling his position now. He's definitely way more comfortable than he was when he first came in. And, you know, it was all about, he knew what he could do here, but he knew that he had to prove that not only to the administration and but mostly he had to prove that to the fan base. And now that he's pulled off his first 10-win season here at Florida State, which there's been 24 previous to this one, according to ESPN. So, yeah, he's really feeling what his job is now. And it's crazy because, you know, I don't know if y'all did, but multiple podcasts called me absolutely crazy when I preseason, just about this time last year, I put out a prediction that Florida State was going to go 9-3 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And that's what we did, but I had one game wrong. I said we were gonna lose to Louisville and beat Wake Forest, and it was the opposite. We beat Louisville and lost to Wake Forest. So I predicted the season minus one game being right, but still predicted the exact number of wins we would have, and then also predicted we would go to the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando. So a lot of people started thinking I found the script to the college football season and shared it, but I didn't.
Back to the Future, right? That's a Back to the Future reference, right? Yeah, that'd have been awesome, right?
Yeah, if I could have done that, I would have made more money off of betting. So
I know, right? So, well, since we're here, man, let's not bury the lead, man. We got a brand new defensive back coach, and from my understanding, we also probably going to get some more add-ons to the behind-the-scenes staff also. So I want to start with the defensive backs coach. How you feel about Pat Surtain?
I think the craziest part of Pat Surtain getting hired here at Florida State was I'd made a joke to a friend of mine that's huge in the Florida State coverage, and I'm not going to name him because then I'm going to be letting go of a lot of source that I have, but I'd made the compliment that or the comment that what would it be like if Norvell wouldn't got a defensive assistant or a defensive DBs coach out of the NFL. And I named Pat to be one of those guys as a complete joke. I never thought we would write that check, to be completely honest. So when that hire came through, because I was obviously wanting Crow. I wanted Crow to be the DB coach here at Florida State very badly. But when they told me that they hired I guess I learned it maybe an hour and a half before it was posted everywhere and everybody knew that Pat Surtain was going to be the DB's coach at Florida State. I absolutely lost my mind because I think it's a home run hire. I don't think that you could have done much better if you could have done any better.
Right. Yeah, and then, I mean, you bring in a guy with a wealth of experience. I mean, he played in the NFL, I think, for 11 years, which is a lifetime in the NFL, 11 years. He coached down in Miami for, I think, 3 years at American Heritage. So, he's coached some guys that's been five stars, that's went to Georgia, of course, and guys that's went to Bama. And, of course, you know, Tavares McFadden, I think, was one of his DBs also, who was at FSU for a couple of years, 3 years. You know, I know he didn't live up to the weighty expectations, but, you know, he was a pretty good defensive back at FSU, if you ask me. And now he comes to Florida State, and I got to be honest with you, I did not think Norvell would make a hire like that. I thought, I know I said on the pod, Rod Chance just seemed like a Norvell-type hire. And everybody got mad about that. But I did say my ideal hire would be somebody that can recruit, that has NFL experience. I think Pat Surtain checks pretty much every box I have. I think he's going to have a lot of good relationships in Miami. You know, how he's going to recruit, that's to be – we got to figure that out. I know a lot of people feel like it's going to be a slam dunk. He's going to be a great recruiter. You know, having relationships is one thing. Getting people to put pen to paper, that's a totally different – that's something else. I got to see him do that. But I do think he will – I think he'll be able to do that, though. I really do. And most importantly, I think it gives that room a coach with a lot of credibility when he talks. And I think that's important. So I think that's a lot of people call it a home run hire. I wouldn't call it a home run hire, but I think it's a really good, solid hire. And I think it's a guy that's not going to be looking for the next job every time a job come open. So I think he's one of those guys that'll be here for 5-6 years. You know, well, as long as Norvell here, I think he'll be here because I think he's going to be technically sound as a defensive back coach, personally.
I definitely agree. And what I want, well, and I've told people this on Spaces, and I've also said it on our show at Spiratics, but Norvell made what is considered the long haul, long term hire when he hired Pat Surtain. And I'll be completely honest with everyone that's listening or watching. The reason that I say that this is a home run hire is because I know the relationships that he has with the DBs that are currently not only in the 24 class, but the 25 class as well.
Right.
And I know how many gentlemen just stepped back from their verbal commitments to other schools once the hire was made from Florida State in Pat. So the reason that I think he's going to be a much better recruiter than what we had in Woodson is just based off of how many young men I know are already making that phone call. They're already trying to contact Coach Pat, and they're already trying to get, you know, into the realm of, is Florida State interested in me, because I haven't heard from him potentially before this due to, you know, the coach wasn't after him. So the reason that this is a long-term hire is because Pat Surtain actually was a not just a successful coach, but an extremely successful coach at American Heritage. And he was the head coach there. So I want people to understand that he wasn't just a defensive coordinator or an analyst or anything like that. He was an actual head coach at American Heritage. And that's just like being a head coach at IMG Academy. It's no different.
Right.
And if you, which I think it would be cool if, you know, one of us get him on our podcast and get him talking, but I've got the pleasure of speaking to him once, and he will remind you a lot of Crow and give him 5 to 8 minutes of talking about football, and you're going to probably have a mind explosion because of just how much he knows and where his football IQ is very impressive. And he also speaks the lingo with the young men and what they want to hear about coming to a school to get to the next level. So that's the reason I say it's home run hire.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with Pat Surtain and his credibility and everything, do you think they brought him here? How much influence do you think he actually might have on the defense? I'm curious on what he's been brought in to do, right? Like I do think they brought him in to recruit and get the DB to be technically sound. I'm just curious on how much influence you think he'll have on defensive scheme and those types of things.
So to be completely honest with you, I think he's going to have everything to do with when people hear that he's going to be the DB's coach, you think he's just going to develop that position and that's pretty much it. But when it comes out in full, what he actually will be, what his role will be, is not only the DB's coach, but he'll also be head of the passing game. And people think, okay, that means he's going to be doing stuff on the offensive side of the ball. That's not what the passing game is.
Right.
The passing game is he's going to see – he's going to prepare the DBs system-wise on how they're going to set up to play against this team, that team, and every other team. So I don't know why this just happened.
It happens. It happens all the time. You're good.
I don't know why this happened. But – anyways, what that means is that he'll actually be responsible for the DB system and how they set up coverage for the passing game and stuff to that nature. So it's going to be surprisingly good. And the type of coach that he is he won't be quiet. He's going to exercise his intelligence. So if he believes that we're putting the guys in the wrong spots, that they're not going to succeed, we're not setting them up to succeed, he will open his mouth very quickly and very loudly, and he'll make sure that his guys are getting due diligence done in their career path. So he's going to make sure that he's not going to wait till the game's over.
Right.
And worst case scenario, he's going to wait till halftime, be professional, and do it in the locker room. But depending on how bad the game's starting to look and how his guys are getting treated, he might say something on the sideline immediately. And that's why I think they hired him, to be completely honest.
Right, right, absolutely. So I think Pat Surtain could be I really like that hire, man. I really do. And I heard that they actually are looking to hire even some more help on the back end. and at linebacker coach also. Have you heard anything about that?
It kind of cut out at the end. You said something about a linebacker coach?
Yeah, I heard they was not hiring a position coach, but some more analysts for the behind the scenes. I heard that they was looking at some more analysts behind the scene, DB coach and a linebacker analyst. A linebacker analyst and a DB analyst. I heard that they was looking to hire one of those.
Okay, so yes, actually, it's both. They're trying to get a linebackers analyst and a defensive backs analyst, mm-hmm. and also an overall a scouting analyst, I guess is what they would call it. Maybe it's mm-hmm. a recruiting analyst, but Florida State in the state of Florida is the third largest staff off the field.
Okay.
And we have the money, we have the resources for us to be much larger. So right. now that the foundation has been built with what Norvell wanted to do as far as getting these guys set in the places that they're going to be in for at least the next year or two.
Yeah.
Now he wants to go out and hire more of the off the field staff. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, we look at, not to jump forward, but where we've been worried about recruiting, because I've even said my negative sides of the recruiting part.
Right.
But now that I understand that his method of madness of what he was doing, trying to get the roster flipped as quickly as possible and continue to bring in quality impact players for that year, not, you know, the future so much to say, but right now we need to start winning so we can attract those recruits.
Right.
It was also the same way with the coaching. It was also we need to establish exactly what defense we're going to set, exactly what offense we're going to run, and then we'll bring in the analysts and the scouts that will benefit who we're looking to bring in as a player. And we want to keep picking the right young men, not just what they're able to do on the field, but the right mentality, that right attitude that you want to work no matter what your ranking is. And now that he's done so, mm-hmm. now Norvell's getting flashy. Now he's fixing to show people what shines and what he doesn't care about. And it's right. an attitude difference.
Right, right, absolutely. So that make a lot of sense, man. So I like the idea of him really beefing up the behind the scenes. I know that Mike Alford had made it a point that they beefed up the football department, and you know, I ain't saying it's gonna be like, you know, Florida Gators with the 150 blue brigade, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does reach into 75 yeah. people. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it got that big under Mike Alford's stewardship. You know, basically what he's going to allow. So that's very impressive. And I heard it could be a pretty big name that gets brought in as an analyst too. So I think some people that want to see some former players come back and be coaches on the staff, I think you actually might get an opportunity to see that sometime this offseason. I think some announcement might get made for that. So you know, just look out, be on the lookout for that, people. All right, man. Let's get to the next one. 24 recruiting. Okay. I'm finna let you cook on this, all right? So I know Norvell got a helicopter going around Florida right now. mm-hmm. He's dropping in on the kids. So I know he went to Lake City. I know he went to Bradford County. And, I mean, Duval got a lot of big-time players that's coming out in the next 2 years.
Right.
And, so how you feeling about the 24 recruiting class? I feel like the 24 recruiting class is going to be pretty good. I feel like it might reach that top 10 level that I think he desperately needs to reach. And I think it's a chance he's going to hit that. And I think he's going to hit that with guys – from the South.
Definitely. I've told multiple people, and I'm going to continue saying this, this will be the best recruiting class that Mike Norvell has put together, period, but also the best one here at Florida State in his tenure here at Florida State. He's never pulled a great class at Memphis or when he was mm-hmm. even an assistant at Arizona. Not right. a great class. He's done decent and done really good for those types of schools. But you would definitely be able to say that over the past couple of years that this staff's underperformed at recruiting for being a Florida State.
Right.
So this year, the 2024 class will be the best class that he's put together ever. And it'll be the best one here at Florida State that he's done. When you go after, like, to be able to pull this kid in particular, that I'm about to bring up, which is Charles Lester III. Mm-hmm. When he's coming to your junior day at Florida State versus deciding to go to Alabama, which is one of his top five schools, then you've got Florida, Georgia, and Ohio State. And out of those five schools, he picked to come to Florida State's junior day over all of them.
Right.
That has a lot to do with Patrick, but it has a lot to do with Norvell flying around and checking these kids out. So him being one that that a lot of people didn't think that Florida State would be talking about landing or potentially getting. And then you've got the Jordan Johnson. I don't want to butcher his name, but Jordan Johnson Ruble, I believe is how he says it. He's got a top 12 school list out, and he's also deciding he's an IMG Academy guy, but he's also deciding that he's going to come to Florida State as well to visit first. So it's the first stop that he's going to make out of IMG Academy. And obviously he's closer to some of the other schools, not that IMG is far from us, but it's farther away than I think it's farther than Miami, and I know it's farther than UCF, and I know it's farther than Gainesville. So he's coming to us first, and then he'll work his way down afterwards. But that's another, you know, four-star safety that we wasn't talking about last year. We weren't talking about being in the hunt for multiple four- and five-star athletes. It was we were trying to hit on one, and if we missed on one, then we were out of luck because we didn't have another one. We didn't have no backup.
Right.
So what Norvell's doing right now in recruiting versus what he's done over the past couple of years is second to none. It's a night and day difference. Because then you go to someone like KJ Bolden. He's a five-star safety. Now, I think he's a Georgia kid, if I'm not mistaken. But still, he's got a top 15 schools list, and he's also deciding to come to Florida State first. That's going to be his first visit. Mm-hmm. Where last year, even the five stars that we were involved in, we were their third, fourth, fifth, or possibly never going to visit. And now we're becoming at the top of our list who they're going to visit first, which I don't usually give other people credit, but 247 is doing a very good job on the list, keeping up with who's actually coming to visit Florida State. So you can go and check that out, anybody that's listening, on who's actually coming to junior day. Mm-hmm. And you got to be excited for the caliber of players that are coming in this list, because it's not a bunch of three stars, which I'm fine with. It's not a bunch of guys that are trying to make a name for themselves. It's a bunch of, I don't want to call them prima donnas, but premier players that are five stars that are used to being that guy on the team. Yeah. There's a bunch of them that are coming. So
you don't have to worry, man. They're not going to trash five stars and four stars when they start coming to Florida State. We'll actually start back liking them again.
So. Right. And then, you know, you mentioned like a guy that I think Florida State could benefit really good with. And I think after Dugan's doing a good job with Hakeem Williams going after JoJo Traitor, which is a 2024 kid, that he's already dropped his top five school list. And Florida State this year, in my opinion, is going to they're going to pressure guys to commit a lot quicker than we have in the past.
Right.
Because we're going to know real quick whether you're going to stick with us or if we're just going to get the next guy. And we're going to pressure them to commit sooner than later. And JoJo Traitor is a very dynamic wide receiver, and I'm extremely excited about his recruitment, and Dugans is already doing a good job with him. And what I'll say about recruiting with Florida State too is finally the entire staff got to see what it looks like, how much work you got to put in to land the five-star guy when they landed Hakeem Williams. And I know that Dugans will tell everybody that is the most effort that he has ever put into any recruit. That is the most amount of time. That's the biggest, I don't want to say headache, but it's the biggest responsibility that he's ever dealt with in recruiting. And I will say that I want to tip my cap to the high school coach for Hakeem Williams, because I think he helped throughout this whole entire process for a very extensive amount of time. So now everybody knows what it looks like, how you get a five-star wide receiver.
Right.
And then and the reason that I'm naming these guys is because these are guys that I picked 2 years ago that I wanted to see on Florida State's campus. So you've got the gentleman that I just named off, and then you've got James Madison II, which is also he's most of these guys I'm talking about are two-way players, meaning they play both sides of the ball.
Right.
And James Madison's another one that plays both sides of the ball. And then the one that everybody's worried about right now, which I'm trying to like calm people down because he really, really is bought into Florida State. And Norvell has sold this young man in so much depth that I really don't think we lose him. And I know that if there's any given day you could, but Cam Davis, who's already verbally committed to Florida State, the five-star running back, I don't have any fear of him going anywhere else. He's already been offered the kitchen sink and the car lot and the mansion from Georgia, and he's already pretty much turned them completely off. Like right. He's not even taking those physical phone calls from other schools. He's continuously talking about the next time he's coming to Florida State. He's even putting that up on his social media. And what I'll tell people is y'all hear us say this all the time when they're visiting, follow the visit. Follow the visits, and you'll figure out where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this process with the 24 kids, follow the top schools list. Follow the first place that they visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually the place that they end up. Usually the first place they visit is usually where they show up to first. I told people that was the only scare that I had with Keldrick Falk, is that when he visited Auburn first, it terrified me because it was close to home. Mom wants him to be close to home. And that was before they even hired their new head coach.
Yeah.
And I was really worried about where Keldrick Falk was going to go from the very get-go. And then everybody kept telling me, no, no, Keldrick's coming to Florida State. So I bought it. And he ended up at Auburn. So that one hurt me, y'all. Like, I was emotionally invested in that young man. I wanted him here so bad. And so I was really invested in what he was doing.
Yeah.
And for him to flip and go to Auburn on signing day, y'all don't even know how low I was holding my head that entire day.
Yeah, that'll get you every time. I tell everybody, don't trust these kids. Don't trust them. Don't believe anything. Don't believe, because I remember, you know, I had talked to a pretty good source, and when they told me Travis Hunter wasn't coming, it was like 2 days before signing day, and I talked to a media member that I have a pretty good relationship with. I was like, hey, man, I heard Travis Hunter's not coming. You heard anything about it? He's like, no, that can't be true, da-da-da-da, this and that. You know, and I didn't want to go back and forth with the guy. So I came on a podcast and said something about it. And Brandon was, I ain't going to say he went irate on me, but he was really upset on the podcast. I'm like, Brandon, I'm telling you, there's a chance he's probably not coming. And, you know, he got upset about it. And when it finally did happen, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, it does happen. You know, you can't trust kids in recruiting. And that's why I don't tie into it. Like, I don't want to know their favorite colors. I don't want to read their diaries. I don't want to get into all that stuff until they sign on the dotted line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Brandon was upset because he was watching highlights of Travis Hunter. Man, I think he was sending me highlights of Travis Hunter, like, every week. Look at this play. Look at this catch. Look at this. I'm like, then when I found out he wasn't going to come, I was like, man, I don't think he'd come. He was like, man, I don't know if I can still be a fan if he don't come. Like, he was upset. Because you get so invested. You know, you get so invested, man. So I stay away from the kiddies.
And, you know, I will say this, Sam, that at least in this subject matter, you're the smartest out of all of us, because I've told myself after Travis Hunter did not commit to Florida State that I was not ever getting in depth with recruiting again.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am.
You're right back in it.
I'm right back in it. Last year, we lost Keldrick Falk, which wasn't as big as losing Travis, but it was still big to me because I was extremely invested.
Yeah.
And I just hope 24 is not the year that I'm – and just the damn kid that I'm invested in don't flip.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think Keldrick Falk was the cream of the crop that, you know, was the top flashiest guy. I think Hakeem was.
Yeah.
But I'd known how well we were recruiting Hakeem, so I didn't worry. And I was worried about Falk. And it's not a knock on Papuchis. I think he did a great job recruiting Falk. It's just – it's hard to get those kids out of Alabama. It's hard to get those kids out of Mississippi. They want to stay home.
Well, you know, people say – I hear that. But when you're doing what you're supposed to do at Florida State and you got the type of support and – infrastructure and every, when you got, when FSU is operating at damn near peak efficiency, you can go in there and grab a kid here and there. You can get a couple kids out of there. It ain't impossible. I know it seems that way because the current administration hasn't done it yet. But believe me, if you start winning and you got the right type of support, I think you can go onto the I-10 corridor and start driving down it. And I think you can start picking kids here and there on the I-10 corridor and getting them for the state. I mean, it's been done several times. Now, I will say Georgia's a little different. I mean, I think the landscape of recruiting in Georgia has probably changed more than any state over the last 10 to 15 years. That's a different animal now. I mean, Georgia, I think getting guys out of Georgia, if you can get elite guys out of Georgia, you know, you're a fucking elite recruiter, man. Because it is, getting to battles with that guy, with what he got going on right now in Georgia, it's, and then you still got Saban, you know, Clemson still there. South Carolina, you know, much as people laugh at Beamer does a damn good job recruiting. You know what I'm saying? That man has, he's doing a good job. I mean, when South Carolina's in the top 16 and top 15 in high school recruiting, that's a damn good job. You know what I'm saying? So Georgia has changed more than any state to me. The Mississippi kids, they've always been the Mississippi kids. I mean, that place is hard to get people out of. It is hard to get people out of Mississippi. I give you that. Not trying to be racist, but I don't even know if they know they're free. Like, I don't know if they know they can go outside of the state yet. I don't know. Somebody gave Cam Akers some papers. He found out he was freedom. So, but other than that.
You have no comment. You get me, bro. Nope. I do want to touch base real quick on this that was brought up on the, we're changing the subject. I want to touch base on something that was brought up here just a second ago.
I'm sorry.
Kevin A. said, I need those Mario crystal ball text messages to come out about Hakeem Williams.
I seriously doubt you want that to happen.
I will tell y'all this. I've seen them, and it is hilarious. It's honestly – think of a – you can make it boy or girl, but think of the nerdiest possible young man trying to get the prom queen to go to prom with him in the 90s, in the 80s, where people actually were mean.
Yeah.
And to think of the responses, like, how many nice times do I have to tell you it's not happening? Yeah. And that's how many nice times he set out that I am not coming to Miami and I'm not even giving it a thought.
Yeah.
Until he finally just said, I'm blocking this number and I will not be coming to Miami. And that was the end. But all the messages before that, it was hilarious to watch. It really was. It was hilarious to see through all of that. And then, you know, Brandon was on here just a minute ago and he said he was irate when we were talking about the Travis Hunter scandal where he didn't come. And
yeah,
Brandon, he was very upset.
He was.
Yeah. Then I completely understand Brandon. I was upset too. But like Sam, two days previous to him not coming, I knew he wasn't coming. That's why when everybody said that, oh, Norvell didn't know till the day of, that was, I kept telling him, like, that's not true. He knew 2 days ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of people was acting surprised. But if I knew, and like I keep telling people, I'm not some great source on shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't consider myself plugged in or nothing like that. But if I knew, I knew a lot of other people knew. I knew for a fact Woodson knew. So people knew. You know, nobody was, you know. But that's all about messaging and shaping how you want to view the coach and the program. People that act like they're so caught off guard, there's nothing they can do. You know, Deion came in last night and, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's not how this stuff works. You know, yeah.
Nope.
But anyway, I don't want to be negative. I just want to put that out. That ain't true. But with the 24 recruiting, I think the last 2 years, I think they've done a good job recruiting offensive line, and I think they're going to be more selective this time around. So I do think they're going to go big well hunting with tackles. Any tackles you think that we look pretty good for right now, that's going to be a kind of like, let's see what Georgia, Bama leave on the table for us.
Well, I will say that there is, I'm bad with names, so I'm pulling up my list again, but I will say that there are actually two, one five-star and three four-stars that Florida State's actually favored in getting. They're in the tackle position. I think one of them, let me see if I can find his name real quick. It's going to the wrong thing, but let's see if I can find it real quick. Safety, wide receiver, QBs, defensive linemen. So let me see. Apologize. I didn't have this pulled up.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just we asked some questions. So
kind of the answer is yes. We're actually really, really hot on the board with quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. I just got to find where my list was so I can. There's two kids out of Georgia that we are extremely. Here we go. Here's the list. So we're actually heating up the trail with this 4-star Jason Zandamella.
Mm-hmm.
We've heated up on him a lot. He's an interior offensive lineman. He's a 4-star out of Clearwater, Florida. Mm. He goes to International Academy.
Okay.
We've started to really, really push on him and get him involved. Atkins is doing a really good job communicating with him. And I think he's a definite guy that you got to land. And then you've got Flynn, which is out of Georgia. It's Loganville, Georgia.
Okay.
He's a 4-star. Composite score is a 94.5, and he's 6'1", 304 pounds out of high school. Okay. And the surprising part of this is, you know how we get a lot of kids out of high school, especially offensive linemen.
Okay.
We got to get their body worked. You hear 304 pounds, you're like, okay, he's going to be we're going to have to work on him, a project. This kid's actually very fit to be 301 pounds. He's very set and ready to go. Another guy that I think we're working really hard to flip on the interior offensive line, he's already verbally committed to Ohio State, and he is out of Indiana. But Ian Moore is a guy that is very athletic. He's 6'5", 295, 298, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
His position rank is 3, and his national ranking is 59th, and his state rank is 2nd. So he's
who was that again?
His name is Ian Moore.
Ian Moore. Okay.
He's verbally committed to Ohio State right now, but Atkins and them started working on him a little bit mid frame of probably December, right before the dead period hit again. They got really hot after him.
Okay.
And they seem to be doing a good job. And then you've got Jordan Seaton, which is out of St. John's, Washington, D.C. He's 6'5", 290, and we're really starting to warm up on him as well. If y'all go check that list, if I'm not mistaken, 3 of the 4 that I named are coming to that junior day. So and that's their first visit as well. So it seems like the interior tackle position we're starting to do a lot more due diligence in, and Atkins is really pushing for particular guys.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's what's up. That's what's up. Somebody said I got no sound. Y'all can't hear us? I can hear. I don't know.
No sound?
That's what he said.
Turn your mic or turn your volume up, Polk.
You know, it is his Friday kickback. He probably already drinking.
We know you're off work because you're on here. Well, you ain't got a show going tonight. So
FSU, man, they've killed it in the portal. They've done a good job in the portal, I think. I don't know if they're going to end up with the number one class. I think LSU and USC eventually are going to start picking up some steam in the portal. So I think they'll probably end up a little closer to probably 1 or 2. But I think FSU, as far as filling needs, they've done a hell of a job in the portal, filling needs with guys. How do you feel about that Jaheim Singletary? You think he's a Miami guy or you think he's a Florida State guy? Or is he a Florida guy? So I'm going to say this. If he's coming to be closer to home, right, if that's the goal, then he's going to Gainesville, right?
Right.
And that would mean Miami's out of the question.
Yep.
To me. But the DB coach at Miami is the guy that recruited him to Georgia, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yep. So I don't believe anything these kids say, for the record. I just don't believe what they say. So what do you think about him, Jaheim Singletary?
So I personally don't believe that he's transferring to be closer to home. I don't think that the situation – I think the situation – excuse me. I think the situation with Singletary is kind of similar to a guy that we really want at Florida State that could potentially enter the transfer portal in the future. But it's very similar that there's too many guys that are in front of him. He doesn't see probably getting a starting or even a rotational start for that matter. Mm-hmm. Probably until next year, not this season come, but 24 season, and he feels like he can start.
It'll be 25 before he actually plays. Correct. because I know for a fact, I was listening to David Pollack when he was talking on ESPN. He said, "Oh, this team ain't even old like y'all think it is. It's actually a young team." When I went and looked at it, yep. Kirby loaded up last year on defensive prospects like crazy. And that's last year. And then the year before that, he loaded up like crazy on defensive prospects again. Mm-hmm. So, like, I keep telling people, now I just, how to put this? I'm not saying the people that's going to leave Georgia are bad football players. I'm not saying that. But I do think there's a thing of attrition, and Kirby wants to continue to recruit 25 high school kids. Yep. So I'm not saying he's telling kids to leave, but I am saying that he's like, hey, you know. You're probably not going to play here anytime soon. So, yes. And I think the kids that got that message are the ones that's leaving. I don't think this is a whole thing of I'm leaving because I want to play. I think it's just, I mean, it's a little bit of both, basically, because they got a pretty good retention program there, you know, and it's pretty easy to get kids to leave. You just don't offer them NIL deal. I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean,
yeah.
Be like, hey, we're not going to renew that NIL deal we did with you. You know, you can get a kid to leave with no problems. You know what I'm saying? So, and these coaches, no matter what these coaches say, no matter how much they bitch about the portal, they fucking love the portal. You know why they love the portal? Because they want the kids that they don't want in their program to jump in and to get out of the program. They love it. They love it.
Yep. And what I'll say to people about, like, a Jaheim Singletary leaving Georgia is each and every one of the athletes, regardless if they're true freshmen or redshirt freshmen or if they're juniors, sophomores, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you've worked for any type of corporate company, these interviews after the season's over are very similar to what you would have at a workplace where they bring you in, they talk to you about where you see yourself in the next 2 to 3 years, next year. And when your mindset and their mindset for you doesn't match up. A little bit different for us because we got to keep the job until we find a different one. But for these kids, it's a little bit different. If they're getting told, hey, don't see you playing really until 2025, and this kid's dream is to start in 2024, 2023,
mm-hmm.
and they know they're not going to play until their junior year.
Right.
That's what makes them want to enter. You know, they call them exit interviews. Mm-hmm. And literally even the people that are staying get an exit interview. What right. these coaches sit down and do with you is if you were to stay, this is our plan for you. If you are to leave, this is our plan for you. So do some of them get told, hey, we would like you to stay, and you can tell that they want them more. And is there ones that they're talking to and it kind of feels like they're telling you it's best for you to leave? Mm-hmm. They can't just tell you to leave. They can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they could, but they don't. They tell you that, you know, you might be a better fit at this program because they need more help with this position right now than we do. Right. We're, you know, extremely deep in depth at this position. So I think that's the kind of interview that Singletary got was, you know, these guys aren't but a year ahead of you, and they're going to be here for the next 2 years at minimum. And they're going to start in front of you. And then the guys that are right behind them are in the same situation, because right now you do have, I think it's a sophomore, a redshirt sophomore, and a redshirt freshman that's ahead of Singletary in the starting rotation.
Yeah.
And that's the bad part of that is neither one of those are the starters. So there he's three back.
Yeah. Of so young guys, three, young players. Yeah,
very. Yeah. So that's what Florida State's, that's what we want to see at Florida State. We want to see that we are, a lot of people don't want to lose anybody, but
right.
we're already starting to see it with when you start losing the Trayshon Wards or the Amari Gainers or stuff of that nature. They are a little bit older, and if you do the math, you know, Amari's last year is this year. He's going to be at UNC. Mm-hmm. But now we're finally getting back to the part where people are leaving because they've been over-recruited. They've been recruited out of their position.
Yeah.
So you're going to be a senior next year, but we don't plan on starting you because these four guys are better than you are, or these three guys are better than you. And then what you want to see next year after the 24 class comes in, that some of the 22 guys that we got are starting to also fan out and go, well, I'm going to leave because I'm not going to start here. Right. And there's 24 kids overranked me. So unfortunately that's the way it works. And this is a business as much as people don't want it to be.
And these coaches, they want the turnover, man. They want the turnover on the roster. They want the bottom of that roster being churning out and churning in and churning out. They do. They do. They sit on there and they complain about the portal and, oh, my God, the portal's the worst thing. Oh, it's too much tampering going on. Dude, believe me, these coaches are making phone calls telling people, you can have this kid. I mean, I'm not saying you know what I'm saying? That's just how this works, you know. So they all get in front of the media like it's so evil, but
One over here should believe that Mac Brown had not made a conversation with someone at Florida State about Amari Gainer. Yes. It happened before this season ended. It happened before Amari decided he was going to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, the type of defense that they run at North Carolina fits the Amari Gainer better than what we run out of Fuller. Yeah, it doesn't fit Amari.
Your guy at Oklahoma pretty much said it. You know, if you don't want to be here, come tell me. And I'll find you somewhere to go. I'll find you a place. I will find you somewhere where you can go, where you can feel needed and wanted. And the crazy thing about it, if that's how college football has always been, it's been harder to churn the bottom of the roster. Because I remember it was a big deal with Nick Saban because people hated the fact that he was actually telling kids, I'm not renewing that scholarship. Okay. Yep. I'm going to find you somewhere else to go. I'm not going to renew your scholarship. If you come here, you're probably not going to be on scholarship next year. So, you know, he was doing it before the transfer portal. You know, people was getting upset about it. Remember that? It was like a big deal. And so they like this. You know, we wouldn't have a transfer portal if the coaches and administrations, the ADs, didn't want one. Right. We wouldn't have it. It's just a fact. We wouldn't have it. So, so let's get into I know we had I want to touch on Malik. I know he transferred out. God, man, that Tribe 21 classes. Woo, that's some disgusting stuff there, man. What do we got? Three kids left out of that class?
Two or three.
Two or three, I think is Knowles, Pat Payton.
Payton.
Ugh. I'm trying to figure out who the other
is
one is.
Is Brown 21?
I want to say Shaheen Brown. Yeah, I want to say Shaheen Brown's 21 also.
So there's two or three.
Yeah.
Maybe four.
But yeah, maybe four.
Handful of guys. That's it. And what I told people, you know, you brought in a transfer wide receiver core last year that obviously outperformed Malik and is going to continue to outperform Malik. And then you bring in Hakeem Williams, which will probably get – not a starting role, but he'll have a rotational piece to play in four games next year. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably get that 146 yards that Malik McClain got all year in his first two games. So he was out-recruited, he was over-recruited. It made sense for Malik to leave. I wish Malik nothing but the best. I think Malik ends up in somewhere like Miami, to be honest.
I said Miami, and everybody got mad at me like, Sam, here you go trolling again. I'm like...
No, that's not a troll. That's not a troll at all. He has... Y'all look at where these kids have relationships at.
It's a perfect fit though, because they don't have a lot of wide receivers.
It's a perfect fit for him. he would shine over there until they play us, then it probably wouldn't be good. But he will shine if he's to go to Miami. He would shine. He would do a very good job over there.
Yeah, I put that out there. I was like, I think Miami would be the perfect spot for him because he would get plenty of targets. He'll get plenty of run.
Yeah,
I mean, I doubt he would come off the field, to be honest with you.
I do too. I would doubt that he comes off the field at all.
Yeah,
like people got mad at me when I said that Sam McCall was going to end up going to Texas A&M. I called that the day he entered the portal. I said he's going to Texas A&M, and everybody was like, "He has no ties at Texas A&M." I was like, Oh, Texas A&M recruited him pretty hard out of high school, but okay. And then he ended up at Texas A&M. Because of how much attrition they had at DB is why I figured they were going to pick him up.
Right. So, Malik McClain, I personally thought he looked at better this year.
Yeah, he did.
Than he did last 2 years. And, you know, that's an interesting case with Malik McClain because I do think with his development, I wonder if Mike Norvell wish he wouldn't have took, had he known Malik was going to take the step he took, would he have took one less wide receiver in the portal? I really wonder that because I don't think him and some of those other receivers that we watch play a lot was that much different. I don't think they was that much better, but I do think once you take those transfers, you kind of guaranteeing them to kind of play a little bit more than the guys you got on the roster because you don't want to seem like you took I think he was more even with some of those guys, and I think that might have been what left a bad taste in his mouth and probably why he transferred out, because you know that's my opinion. I don't know that to be a fact, but I do know it was some divisiveness inside the wide receiver room this year. I do know that. I don't know for a fact, but you know, here nor there, it's still a really stacked room. I think FSU should be fine. And the divisiveness in the wide receiver room, that's not anything that's different in any wide receiver room in the country, to be honest with you. When you got talented players, you start stacking that room with talented players. So he's gone, but big news. We watch Georgia put a throttle in on TCU. Their offensive mastermind, Garrett Riley, who I'm actually a pretty big fan of Garrett Riley, actually, end up taking a job with Clemson. It's a pretty big hire. So how you feel about that? I'm really surprised Dabo did that, to be honest with you.
I think Dabo had to do that. And what I mean by that is with Streeter, that was the offense that you had with Streeter, period. That was what it was going to be. Mm-hmm.
But that's what Chad Morris left them.
That's what Chad Morris
left them. That's what Tony Elliott
set up, pretty much.
Evolved it into that. Yep. And that's what it was always going to be. Yeah.
Yep. And, I mean, I will say that I think Streeter was the best person to run that for him at the time, after whom left. But here's what I've got to say. I think Garrett Riley is a good offensive mind. I think it's a good hire. But I personally think he has more to prove than any coach in the ACC right now. And the reason that I say that is because I think that TCU had a very talented wide receiver core. I think they had a very talented running back room.
Right.
I think the quarterback was very talented. And for them to only win so many games this year by 1 point, one possession, it doesn't look good on the scheme. The offensive line were a bunch of big guys. They weren't necessarily very athletic, mm-hmm. but they were very big. And for the competition that they played in, TCU should have dog-walked a lot of teams that they didn't. So I think the scheme's got a little bit of question to it. And I also think it's not going to be very – I think it's going to be similar to TCU's offense. But I think Garrett's going to change a lot, especially with Dabo Swinney. He has a lot to do with what the offense looks like.
You know, it's going to be an interesting case study with him. I think, to be honest with you, those high-power offenses like that, the reason why those games are always close is because they give you so many possessions, right? Yep. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss out on or don't understand. I remember reading about the relationship between Bill Belichick and Kyle Shanahan. And mm-hmm. when Kyle Shanahan, after he got beaten in the Super Bowl by Bill Belichick, he ends up taking a job at the 49ers. And this is an article I read. And he took the job at the 49ers. He was at the combine. And, you know, all the coaches come to the combine. It's a good place for them to talk. You know, they want to meet other coaches. And it's basically like the coaching convention for the NFL, right? Cool. They all get together. And Kyle Shanahan, when he got to the combine, he went and found Bill Belichick. And Mike Shanahan actually hired Bill Belichick at one time to be a special teams coach. So I think Bill was like his secondary special teams coach, not the first guy, but the second guy. So he basically worked with the punters and the alignment stuff. So he knew Kyle, you know, Kyle grew up in locker rooms, you know, so he knew his dad real well. So Kyle basically asked Bill Belichick, you know, how did you beat me in the Super Bowl, right? How did you come back against us and beat us? What did you do to my offense? You know, and him, Bill Belichick, spent probably the rest, well, I think it took Bill some time because Bill don't warm up to all the coaches, but he basically took Kyle for like 2 days. They went over film, and he basically told Kyle, he like, your offense the whole year was given the other teams 14 to 15 possessions per game. So he was like, even though y'all was up, we knew we had another 7 possessions. You know what I'm saying? So we never really felt like we was out of the game. It didn't, you know. So if you look at Kyle Shanahan's offense, when he left the Falcons and what he had always done at Houston and done at the Washington Redskins, now if you look at him at the 49ers, what is their offense? The offense is ground, pound. They chew up a shitload of clock, right? Because he feel like, I can scheme up 28 points. I can scheme up 30 points. You know what I'm saying? So with that offense in particular, it leads you to play close games because you're giving that other offense so many opportunities to figure out that defense. And that's what Bill Belichick's main thing was, like, you left Dan Quinn out to dry because he's having to play great possessions. He's having to have 15 great possessions to win football games because you're making his defense constantly go back on the field. So I think with that Riley system, it creates that. It creates that even with the Mike Leach, that offense creates more opportunities for the other offense, right? So now you're playing basically fast break basketball. You know what I'm saying? Who can shoot the last three? Yep. So I do think that's going to be a problem for them. But I do think with Dabo influence on it, maybe it won't be, you know what I'm saying? I think we're going to be a little mesh of the minds a little bit, right? So we'll see how that goes. I do think it's a good hire because their quarterback play was suffering over the last 4 years. You know, even Trevor's last year, Trevor wasn't, you know, great at quarterback play at last year. I mean, he was good. I mean, he's Trevor Lawrence. I mean, but, you know, there's a lot of things that Jaguars had to clean up after 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So I think he had to fire Streeter. I know a lot of people saying that Streeter wasn't a problem. The defense was a bigger problem than Streeter was, but the defense had a lot of injuries on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people are missing out on. So I think it was a big hire by Dabo, actually.
Well, what I'll say that I think – what I think Dabo's got to watch out for with Garrett Riley in place is the type of stunts that he likes to run because he does like to run the ball more than his brother.
Yeah.
But the stunts that he likes to pull, I don't think the Clemson's offensive line that they currently have is athletic enough to run those stunts the way that they would like to. And when you play against a Florida State defense that's as fast as it is,
right?
You try to run those counter stunts that he likes so much. I think you're going to get caught in the backfield a lot on a lot of losses. So, I mean, that's what they're going to try to fix. You got to bring in offensive linemen. You're going to have to do a lot of things, but you need some really athletic offensive linemen to run what Garrett likes to run. And that's what I personally think killed him at TCU. Bunch of big bodies, but not really athletic offensive linemen. And those stunts, they couldn't pull those blocks like they needed to. So that's why it didn't look that good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought he did a great job at TCU. I just think, I mean, TCU was limited. I mean, it's TCU. I mean, you only can get so many great big bodies in there to do the things you want to do. You know, they overachieved the first year. I mean, that's the greatest first year by a head coach, Sonny Dykes, that I can remember ever happening. Like, I can't remember. I can't recall a guy come in year one and he plays for a national championship. That's incredible. Of course, they caught a lot of breaks, but, you know, and Riley was always a rising star. So, I think it was a good hire. And, you know, Dabo, for everything people hate about Dabo, he does do a good job surrounding himself with pretty good assistants. You know what I'm saying? And he normally keeps those guys for a good little while. I mean, I don't think Riley's going to be there long. I think Riley be there 2 years, maybe three. I doubt he lasts past 3 years, which it's hard for any productive, like even what Kirby's doing is kind of crazy. I think he's had those same guys almost 5 years now. You know, I think he's only lost Dan Lennon and James Coley. So,
I wanted to ask you a question before y'all or before you end it.
Okay.
What do you think about the reports of Kirby Smart taking an interview with the Cardinals in the NFL?
Man, I never say never in college football or NFL. I never say never with a coach.
You do know what the owner of the Cardinals said about three, I think it was about 3 months ago. He said it on ESPN, or he's been interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the next coach that they hire, and he said this, that's why people knew they were going to drop their coach. 3 months ago, he said, the next check I write for a coach is going to be for 10, 15 years is how long I'm going to keep this coach. So I'm thinking he's ready to spend the house on whoever he gets. I'm not saying it happens. I'm just saying.
I think it's interesting, man. Kirby, man, he is a dog through and through, man. He waited his whole career in coaching to get that job. I know because he's been offered NFL defensive coordinator jobs and that he right. turned down while he was at Alabama. And he never took head coaching jobs because he always felt like Mark Richt eventually was going to leave and he would eventually get to be the first phone call. And that Georgia job is such a huge job. But then at the same time, you know, 10 years at a place is a long time. I know Steve Sprouse would say 10 years is too long, right? You have success. You peak up and have success. People want you to hold that success up that high for it's hard to stay. It's hard to stay at the top of the mountain for a long period of time. Like Nick Saban says, there's no oxygen up there, so you have to become the mountain. So I don't know. It's. But I never say never, though. I mean, he could next year. He could say, man, you know, I went 12-1 again, and we lost in the finals, and that fan base could be like, you're losing to Kirby. Fire Todd Monk can start complaining about it. He could say, man, you know what? I've done enough here. I gave y'all two championships. I'm out the door. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at Jim Harbaugh. He constantly first with the NFL. You know what I'm saying? He's taking the team to the Final Four back to back, you know? So, yep. You never say never. You never say never. I would never say never. So,
I agree.
But that's an interesting thing, though, because he's talking about him going to Arizona. You do got Kyler Murray there. He was the hire offensive coordinator, which is crazy because I think you need to get a spread guy, which is. So he should hire Cliff back. No, I'm just joking. No. No, he would have to hire a guy because I don't think Kyler can work in a normal NFL offense. I think he needs to be somewhere in a spread type system. So you're gonna have to hire a spread type coach to go to.
You'll get O'Brien from Alabama, the offensive coordinator.
That's more NFL though, even with like
Yeah, but look at the spread that he's running at Bama. I mean, that's like a perfect mixture, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
you know, O'Brien and Kirby's got plenty of relationships there.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, that's true. So, you could. I mean, and Todd Monk can also coach in the NFL.
True.
He's an offensive coordinator in the NFL, pretty good. Well, he was all right in the NFL, but, you know. I would personally, if I'm Kirby, I stay right there. If I'm going to take a job, it'd be the Atlanta Falcons job. Like I would just stay in Georgia. I mean, if you really want a job, you
risk though, like staying in the state of Georgia like that close,
I would.
And then not kill you.
I mean, I would because you're gonna get a longer leash. You're gonna get more time. You know, if you can get them with a lot of salary cap, and if you can get them when it's a good quarterback coming in the draft at the same time. You know, that'd be the type of job if I'm him, I would wait for, right? Because you could keep winning. At Georgia, they can't fire you. I mean, you're going to – with the talent you're recruiting, you're never going to lose more. You're always going to win at least 10 games.
Yeah.
And Georgia's shown that they would be patient with a guy that's winning just 10 games, right? Yep. They dealt with Bart Richt doing that for like 15 years. So,
yep.
If I'm going to take a job out – because, I mean, if you do it in Atlanta, they're not going to be in a rush to fire you in 4 years. They're not. They're just going to sit there and allow you to go 7-9, 6-11 – You know, you got too much equity built up in the state. You know? So, yeah. I would just wait for the Atlanta Falcons job if I was him.
You might not be waiting too long is what I'm thinking. And
exactly.
Here's the thing that I'm looking at. You know, if I'm a head coach, after I win two national championships, I mean, everybody's like, well, Nick Saban doesn't do that. Nick Saban's still going after 10 national championships. But y'all forget that he went to the Miami Dolphins. He went to go start to win a Super Bowl. He had to come back to college. It's not that he didn't want to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I think Kirby Smart could put that up there and say, I did something not even my mentor did, even though he started off as a GA at Florida State. But even Nick didn't go win a Super Bowl, so I'm going to go win a Super Bowl. It's always about competition.
Yeah, I always think the Nick Saban thing is a little overblown, in my opinion, because, I mean, Nick Saban was 7-9, 8-8. While he was in NFL, people make it seem like he was a disaster. He really wasn't. He was mad at the ownership. He was just mad at the ownership, the way they structure contracts and, you know, the control. He didn't have enough control. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, I don't know, man. The Kirby leaving Georgia, I mean, I would love to see it, man, because good God, man, he got a lock on that state like I have never seen. Is
he does.
Dude, and I mean, we got to play them in what? We play them not
25.
And all them guys, all them elite defensive players they got are going to be juniors that year. I mean, like I said, Norvell better get his shit together because it's a storm is coming. So,
yeah. And what you hope for is that the only game that you lose all season.
Another good thing, though, why we still just talking shit, Garrett Riley on the Garrett Riley situation, Riley versus Fuller. I saw somebody put this right here. Big Buck, I think Riley be the reason. We believe in Fuller, or Riley being the reason why we're firing Fuller, getting a new defense coordinator. Because
y'all hate on Fuller more than I do. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm a hater. I guess
I'm gonna say this about Fuller and give Fuller 1 year longer than you wanted to give Norvell, which is this year coming up.
Right.
Give him the actual talent that defense needs to be successful, because the type of defense that he runs requires some serious athletes on the field. I'm not saying we don't have athletes. I'm saying we don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Give him this year for a couple of these guys to come in, like Azaria Thomas, to really start filling himself.
Right.
The Cypress kid that's coming in from the portal. Mm-hmm. The Fisk kid that's also coming from the portal. There's a couple of guys that can really help this defense look so much better because of the talent. And then don't forget that in the spring, Florida State's going to pull probably 4 or 5 more portal guys.
Okay.
I mean, they will. I'm just being honest. They're going to pull 4 or 5 more in the spring, and that's usually when they land the big ones.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, man, I feel pretty good, though. I feel good going into the season. They got big momentum. I think we touched on some staff changes, I think. I mean, not staff, but additions to analysts, I think, are going to happen, man. And I appreciate you guys, man. We made it to 1,000. Let's get to 2,000. So continue to share the pod. Continue to subscribe. If you want to catch us on Apple, Spotify, you know, we on all your listening devices. I put that in the chat once the show's over and everything, man. So we appreciate you guys. He said over or under 2 minutes on Junior Day.
I've seen it.
I'm going to go under. I think they're going to be still evaluating. I think you don't see the flurry until you get to the summer.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see
spring game or the summer. I think you get your flurry of commitment.
That's when you'll start seeing it. I don't think you see them before that. Yeah. And everybody that don't know, you can find me on YouTube at Spiradics. I don't know if my name's up here anywhere, but
Let me get that off of there. Sorry about that, buddy.
But that's where you can find me out on YouTube, and then also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. I know I know this person that just said that over or under. Can't think of your real name, ML1219. But
it's probably Mike Langston. You know he don't have any real information.
Oh, my Lord.
It's the truth.
All right. Well, I had fun. I had fun, Sam.
We can still say some dangerous things on the pod just because we are at 1,000. We still good.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. The more that you get, the more dangerous things you're willing to say. Because it's a lot less risk of losing enough people. I tell people to keep rocks. Personally, I went off.
Yeah, Brandon did that 2 episodes ago. It was pretty hilarious. He felt bad about it. But we good, though. We good. But, man, I appreciate you, Chris, coming through. Make sure y'all follow Chris at Spiradics on Twitter. Facebook page is also called Spiradics also, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, and you're doing big things at SSN Sidelines, right? So, yeah, man, so y'all take a look at all that stuff. And I think SSN, I want to say they actually broadcast football games, too.
They do.
Yeah. So yeah, it's big stuff, man. So man, congratulations on that, man. And I really appreciate you still finding time for the little people in the media space.
Ain't nobody little in the media space. No one is little.
Well, all right, bro. I appreciate you, man. And I appreciate all you guys coming through. We got up to 100. You know, one of these episodes, we're going to hit 200. Make sure everybody like the pod so it can keep trickling around. And I appreciate all you guys, man.
As always, y'all.
Third Listener Podcast. Yeah. I'm